Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Yesterday, after the meetings at the White House, Trump made quite a stir because he was talking about the possibility of U.S. troops going over to Ukraine as part of a defense agreement. Like, Ukraine's been insisting on having defense assurances, i.e. if they actually come to the table with this peace deal and they make a deal with Russia and they give up terrain or they don't give up terrain, regardless, if this war actually comes to an end, what are the assurances that Ukraine is going to get? We got a little bit more insight on that today. Trump actually made a phone call over into Fox and Friends this morning, and a lot of information actually came out of that phone call. Additionally, the Kremlin has actually responded to yesterday's talks that took place over inside of Washington. Even Geneva has came out in response to yesterday. That's right, Switzerland has came to the table for this entire deal. Silent Spring says, hell yeah, brother. Good morning, Nanner Gang. Hello, Matt. Ladies and gentlemen, it is going to be a very interesting show. In addition to that, you guys asked me to, I'm not going to do it all the time, but you guys had asked me to bring back Russian Media Monitor and go over some of those clips, and I found one, and I think we need to go over it because it directly talks about, I don't know, the delusional Russian concept of what the heck is going on. But this is a statement that Trump made yesterday that kind of threw everybody into a hissy fit, for a lack of better terms.
Your team has talked about security guarantees. Could that involve U.S. troops? Would you rule that out in the future?
We'll let you know that maybe later today. We're meeting with 7 great leaders of great countries also. And we'll be talking about that. They'll all be involved, but there'll be a lot of help when it comes to security. There's going to be a lot of help. It's going to be good. They are first line of defense because they're there. They're Europe, but we're going to help them out also. We'll be involved.
So there he says yesterday, we're going to help them out also. We're going to be involved. Interesting. How would the United States actually be involved? And that is the statement that kind of like made everybody go, if the U.S. is going to be involved in this, does that mean we're putting boots on the ground? Are we going to have peacekeepers? Like, what the heck does that actually look like? Well, thankfully, today he was able to get on Fox and Friends of all places. And I know I just rode Fox's butt the other day, or last night, actually. But yeah, we're going to talk about it. And Cog Faraday came in gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. So early on in this, let's go ahead and listen to what Trump had to say about whether or not U.S. boots are actually going to be on the ground inside of Ukraine.
What kind of assurances do you feel like you have that going forward and, you know, past this Trump administration, it won't be American boots on the ground defending that border?
Well, you have my assurance, and I'm president, and I'm just trying to stop people from being killed, Charlie. Look, they're losing from 5,000 to 7,000 people a week.
What kind of assurances do you...
So there you have it. You have his personal assurance that U.S. boots are not going to be on the ground defending their borders. Here has been a member for 16 months, dude. Every single time I see members that have been around for a year, 2 years, 2+ years, 3 years, dude, it just blows my mind that it happens. Feelings over facts. Budapest memorandum. Let's get emotional. Christers, I'm not going over the Budapest memorandum again. I mean, that was a bit much. And the guy's defense actually came into the chat and brought up the Budapest memorandum and security guarantees after we went over it. He actually did come back and he asked about the Minsk agreements and so on and so forth. So like, good on him actually for maintaining, like, I don't know, some form of discipline that apparently I lost last night, because I get so tired of hearing about the Budapest memorandum. People just need to get off their butts and get out there and read it. Now, Trump also did come out and state some other things on Fox and Friends this morning when it came down to this peace agreement, allegedly, that is trying to get worked out. And it's weird that Trump actually made this statement that I'm about to play for you, because Zelensky got asked yesterday whether or not, they had gone over like land, concession of land, stuff like that after the meeting at the White House. He just took off running. And Zelensky had stated that it is going to be that talk basically is going to take place specifically between him and Putin, if it actually comes to that. Like, if they actually agree to anything, that the land hasn't been settled yet. But for some reason, Trump actually made this statement.
Mr. President, did y'all discuss any land swaps yesterday? Because we've talked a lot about the Donbass region. And what was the feeling in the room? What did the other leaders say about this?
Well, they understand. Look, everybody can play cute and this and that, but, you know, Ukraine's going to get their life back. They're going to stop having people killed all over the place, and they're going to get a lot of land. But this was a war, and
He just said that they're going to get a lot of land. And then yesterday we had Zelensky state that the land decision is going to be made between him and Putin. But it seems like Trump actually has already figured this stuff out. And so that, in my mind, kind of begs to question whether or not there is like a specific like minimum that has already been set on this, or if that's just Trump talking out his pie hole. Honestly, I couldn't tell you whether or not they're going to end up getting it. He also goes on here. I'm going to let you guys finish this.
Russia is a powerful military nation, you know, whether people like it or not. It's a powerful nation. It's a much bigger nation. It's not a war that should have been started. You don't do that. You don't take on a nation that's 10 times your size. And, you know, military experts look, if it wasn't for the greatest military equipment, we make the greatest military equipment in the world. And we gave them, you know, whatever. They took probably a lot of money, too. But they had tremendous, you know, they had the Patriot missile, which is the best in the world. All the equipment, we make the best equipment in the world by far. Everyone else is like nothing. So we gave them a lot of equipment. Now, with that said, the Ukrainian soldiers were brave as hell because they're fighting a force that's much, much bigger and in theory much more powerful. And, you know, it's not like they've stopped. I assume you've all seen the map. You know, a big chunk of territory is taken, and that territory has been taken. Now, they're talking about Donbass, but Donbass right now, as you know, is 79% owned and controlled by Russia. So they understand what that means.
Mr. President,
It's 79% controlled by Russia. Not a single territory that Russia currently occupies is 100% owned by them, though, as well. And we also have to mention the massive amount of Russian troops that have been lost over the last 18, 20 months. Did the math yesterday, or 2 days ago, we did the math. And Russia has taken right around 4,900 square kilometers worth of terrain since, what is it, January of 24 to present day. And the amount of troop losses that they've taken by UK and US intelligence actually puts that figure per square kilometer at right around 200 Russian soldiers lost per square kilometer gained. It goes anywhere, but I think between 196 and 204. So I'm just going to throw it out there to 200 even, right? That's a lot of freaking troops, and that's not something that Russia can maintain, and that's likely one of the reasons that they're actually coming to the table. Over on Russian Telegram channels today, they are actually complaining and saying that their fuel prices are the highest on record. Like, the impact of Ukrainian attacks on oil refineries, logistics supplies, so on and so forth, have taken a toll on the Russian economy. And 30% of Russia's GDP actually comes from the sale of oil. Now, that also means that the EU needs to start weaning themselves off of Russian oil. Even Macron came out and said that, you know, if Russia doesn't come to the table here, that they need to have a new round of sanctions that are up and ready to go. It also got reported that Geneva, all right, and this came out on Russian Telegram channel, so that Geneva over in Switzerland has promised Russia that if they are willing to come to the meeting, that they will not enforce the ICC arrest warrant for President Putin if he comes to the table in Geneva. That is pretty freaking, like, honestly, that's a pretty big deal. Somebody had asked me over on X whether or not Interpol would be able to kind of get in there and arrest Putin anyways, even if Switzerland doesn't want to do it. That's not how Interpol works. Interpol actually basically provides like the intelligence warrants, information, so on and so forth. And they coordinate with the local governments to go in and conduct those arrests. So it would be like the Swiss national government or the Swiss national police or local police that would go in and make the arrest on Putin if he did end up showing up. So Switzerland saying, no, we're not going to arrest you, means that they're going to ignore the freaking ICC's arrest warrant for Putin for, you know, his war crimes that have taken place over inside of Ukraine. Trump also throughout that phone call couldn't help but blame Obama for this entire war.
You know, very insulting thing. Now, they could have asked for many other things. But the other thing they wanted to do is getting Crimea back. And, you know, that was given. They had built, they were expanding everything and spending a lot of money. All because Barack Hussein Obama gave it away in one of the dumbest real estate deals I've ever seen. You know, very insulting thing. Now, they could have asked for many other.
So he's blaming Obama for giving up Crimea. Now, understanding the situation at the time, and this is where I'm like, dude, Trump just doesn't get what has occurred. And that's one of the things that kind of worries me about this entire situation, because if Trump doesn't understand what the heck's going on, doesn't understand the situation, and I'm not saying that Obama wasn't in charge of America when all of that was going down, when Crimea ended up getting taken over by the little green men. But at the same time, we kind of also ignored it as the United States of America. We also ignored the commercial airliner getting shot out of the sky over the Donbass region, killing countless a lot of Americans and other citizens as well. But at the time, the U.S. had very little presence over inside of Ukraine. You just had the government kind of switch over and so on and so forth. And so having any sort of diplomatic efforts in between those two nations at the time wasn't really a thing. And that's why Russia was able to capitalize and go over and take Crimea. That's why we saw Ukrainians showing up with white flags, trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Like Ukrainian service members figure out what was going on over in the Donbass. Don't really think that was a fair statement for Trump to put out, just to be perfectly honest on that. However, what Trump actually did come out and say is that we all know that yesterday there a phone call had taken place in between the Kremlin and the White House. White House actually had put out a photograph that reportedly showed Trump talking on speakerphone with President Putin on like the backside. And so those two ended up having a conversation yesterday, and Trump kind of gave a little bit of insight to that conversation in this clip right here.
And one of the things at the table was one of the gentlemen, who's a great guy, but he said, I hope I didn't insult him. He said, well, let's meet in another month or two, and let's see if we can start, making some way. I said, a month or two? You're going to have another 40,000 people dead in a month or two. You have to do it tonight. And I did, actually. I called President Putin, and we're trying to work out a meeting with President Zelensky. We'll see what happens there. And then if it works out, then I'll go to the trilat and close it up. And one of the
So the part about this that kind of like amazes me in his statement is he seems really, really, really confident that this deal is going to get closed. I'm seeing people over in the comments section that are saying like Russia's winning. Dude, don't make me go over the numbers again because it's embarrassing for Russia. One, they lost way more terrain, right, after the invasion than they've taken. It's not even remotely close, the amount of Russians that have been killed and the amount of terrain that they've lost inside of Ukraine. They've been stalemated over on the front line, and Ukraine is just sitting there stacking up Russian bodies. Even if I go over, and I'll do it here towards the end of the show, I'll give you guys an update on the front line. You know, that little incursion that Russia ended up making, that little breakthrough that they ended up making over by Poprosk and Novopavlovka, it's already cut off. They've got no ability really to advance forward. And in the areas that they have advanced forward, such as up over by, Kupiansk? Yeah, off the top of my head. Yeah, up over in that region, dude. Ukraine ends up retrograding back. And then Russia walks with how many freaking troops was it? 30, 50,000 that they end up throwing in this freaking fight. And they end up walking straight into an ambush and getting shoved way back into the freaking rear and ended up losing terrain. And I just saw a freaking video yesterday of Russian bodies stacked in the back of a freaking flatbed trailer with like basically garbage bags. They weren't even proper body bags, just like trash bags wrapped around them being hauled out of the region. Like they're not doing good. And I promise you, Putin knows that. If Putin thought he was doing good, there's not a snowball's chance in hell that man would even consider coming to the table at this point, not even remotely close. So to state that, that they're winning is kind of a joke, in my opinion. Let's go back to the meeting.
Date there, and do you plan to attend?
No, I thought I'd do first let them meet. You know, they haven't been exactly best friends. They haven't gotten along very well. And I called President Putin yesterday, and I do have a good relationship. But it, you know, only matters if we get things done. Otherwise, I don't care about the relationship. I do have a good relationship with him, but I want to get things done. You know, I've solved 7 wars. We ended 7 wars. I thought this would be one of the easier ones, and this has turned out to be the toughest one. India, Pakistan, I mean, we... these were big ones. And also, all big ones, and some going for 31, 32 years, one for 35 years. The Congo, think of that, the Congo and Rwanda for 35 years. I got that one done. I got them all done, but this one is the one that is the most difficult, and I thought it would be an easy one. So I hope President Putin is going to be good, and if he's not, it's going to be a rough situation. And I hope that Zelensky, President Zelensky, will do what he has to do. He has to show some flexibility also. The thing is a mess. This was started by Joe Biden. This was a war that should have never happened. Millions of people are dead. The country's blown to pieces, Ukraine, and it's a shame, you know.
Okay, so interesting part about this before he got on his rant about Biden and everybody else is that he actually ended up bringing up that he wants to see, or that he would like to see, Zelensky and Putin meet up before they have their trilateral meeting. And so if we start piecing these little things together, what we can actually start making out of all this, in addition with, you know, piecing together the statement that Zelensky ended up stating yesterday, is that it sounds like what they're pushing for is to have just Zelensky and just Putin to meet up in order to discuss some of these finer details, and then eventually have a trilateral meeting where, you know, Putin, Zelensky, and Trump are all kind of sitting around the table, and they put all this crap in writing and they call it a day. That's what it sounds like their plan is for the way forward. And I'm very curious to know, because Putin has been pretty opposed to meeting with Zelensky. Zelensky's been calling him out, like, in social media posts and all sorts of stuff. I'd be very curious, very, very curious to see, I guess, what he put up against Putin that decided to get him to come to the table. And I think, honestly, the easiest explanation of all of this, in addition to sanctions, is just making sure that those weapons are being supplied to Ukraine. Because as long as the U.S. guarantees that those weapons are going to get supplied to Ukraine and they're going to have the ability to fight, Putin knows he can throw meat wave after meat wave at that line, whether or not the Kremlin wants to admit it, and their bodies are just going to get stacked up. When we did the math on all of this, if Putin wanted to take everything east of the Dnipro River over inside of Ukraine, it would cost him 4.9 million lives at the current going rate. That's almost a four and a half x, all right, current, the size of the current Russian military. All right, so they would have to refit the entire active duty Russian military over four times just to take that terrain between killed and wounded. And you got a picture, that's also weapons, that's also equipment, that's also freaking manpower. And that is also not including the rapid deployment of these guys and the loss of experience that they would have. If you take things like that into account, dude, that number would be exponential. It would be huge. Because often those leaders that are on the ground leading those men into combat on either side in any war, doesn't matter whether it's Russia, Ukraine, the United States, whoever it is, that ground experience actually matters. And when you start throwing bodies into the frickin' fire the way that Russia has been, what ends up happening is you lose all of that experience. And then you put all of these inexperienced leaders into position, and you put all of these inexperienced soldiers onto the battlefield, and you tell them to go assault these defended areas. The result of that is going to be a greater loss of life. And when you start talking about even refitting the entire military one time, having to rebuild your entire military just one time, picture the exponential amount of experience that's going to get lost, and picture the exponential amount of lives that are going to be lost in the future beyond that. Dave Jr. says, thank you, Matt, for all the hard work that you do. Linda Liu says, 10, OMG. I don't know about 10-year-olds. I don't know about 10-year-olds either. Somebody also brought up another important point yesterday, that Ukraine is not, because the numbers game is very real. Right. And this is why, in my opinion, that Ukraine is just kind of holding the line and letting Russians throw themselves into the fire. Ukraine is not conscripting people that are under 25 years old. So your 18 to 24 year old range hasn't been touched yet. It hasn't. What that means is Ukraine also has a reserve pool. So if this fight continues on, they're going to be able to go and grab those younger people and actually bring them to the table. Now, like I said, over in Switzerland, they did come out and they said that if Putin wants to come to the table and he wants to, like, meet up with Zelensky, that they'll offer that kind of like neutral ground, that they won't enforce ICC's arrest warrant. So it is possible that in the next couple of weeks, we see that taking place over there. Some people are saying that maybe it needs to take place inside of the United States because the ICC doesn't like apply over here. Dude, it doesn't matter. I think as long as Switzerland puts it in writing and Putin actually believes that they're not going to enforce it, he'd likely do it because it's a hell of a lot closer. And I also don't think that the United States would want to host Putin and Zelensky just for their own personal talks without Trump present. Likely, we'll see that trilateral meeting back in Alaska or a similar location with Donald Trump. Not over in Geneva, not anywhere else. But who knows where it's actually going to go down and take place. How has the front lines actually responded? Well, I told you guys that Russia has been feeling the strain. Even Russian Telegram channels are reporting that they have some of the highest fuel prices of all times. Like it's hurting their economy, whether people want to admit it or not. This war and the impact of the war is hurting their economy. I also saw another strike that took place down over in Zaporizhia, where you had the Russian supply lines, okay, which is going to be the rail line that's running across Zaporizhia from the east into Zaporizhia. And they have a major, I guess maybe this might be one of those times I consider putting this up on the screen. So let me just open up the map and give you guys a frontline update real quick before we get in there. Hold on. Give me one sec. Cause for some reason I was brain farting this. But what we're going to do is we're going to go over and we're going to open up the deep state map and we're going to go in there and we're going to take a look. So over inside Zaporizhia Oblast, let me back out here real quick. And you guys kind of take a look at where the Ukrainian borders are and kind of where everything's arrayed and aligns. When we go down and we start looking at the Zaporizhia Oblast over near Orkiv, and we look down at Takhmag, Russia's got like a very major command structure that's actually set up there. And you guys will see it a lot more if I was to actually like throw up the defensive line that Russia has set in place. I mean, Takhmag is like heavily fortified. And you have this rail line that's taking place that goes directly into there. And so you have this massive headquarters down in Melitopol and over in Takhmag. This is a very like well defended area where Russia's got a lot of their people. And you ended up having a strike that took place on the rail line that leads into these locations, effectively shutting it down. Now, rail lines can be rebuilt rather quickly, but when you start talking about the railroads being taken out, the cars getting taken out, which happened, this presents a very big problem. And Ukraine has been going after the logistical supplies for Russia in the last couple months. They've been smashing them over inside of Russia, and they've been smashing them here. Even when we go over and we take a look, I'm very curious to see where it's at when I put this portion up on the map. Nope, they haven't even updated it yet. I mean, take a look at it. You still have the troops. This is up over near Pokrovsk and Popobrila or Dopobrila, where they had, had like punched through the line, where you got this whole thing that has been like surrounded and captured. These Russians aren't making it anywhere. Russia has a 132nd motorized brigade, right, up over there, but they're not going anywhere. And we just heard yesterday from Texas that this route that's right here along the bottom has been cut off. When we go up and we take a look, like I said, up over, near Sumy. I made a mistake earlier. I can't even remember what the heck I ended up stating it was. But if you go and you look up over near Sumy, like Russia hasn't been able to advance up over there either. And so their whole front line has just kind of been stopped. They haven't been able to get like anywhere whatsoever. And I have a feeling that's the reason Putin's willing to come to the table. But while Ukraine was busy striking Russia, taking out that railway and several other things, Russia decided it'd be a good idea to launch a drone strike on Ukraine's infrastructure as well, going after oil fields. Here, you've got a great view of the skyline that's been on fire. They launched a massive drone attack going after Ukrainian supplies. So Russia is also continuing to answer back. The front line hasn't ceased. This hasn't slowed anything down. They're continuing to fight on the front line. Great. So the fighting is still continuing, but how is the Kremlin responding to everything that actually took place yesterday? Reuters ended up publishing this article. Putin and Trump discussed raising levels of representatives at the Ukraine talks, according to the Kremlin. So now we're actually getting official things that are coming out from the Kremlin that are stating this, and they don't say what those official levels are. I'm just going to spare you on this. They don't state what those official levels are, but we also have Geneva coming back and stating, hey, Putin, you can get your butt in here. So it certainly seems like this is moving along and it's going in the proper direction. Now, you guys asked me to bring up You guys asked for it, so you're getting it. You guys asked me to go over Russia Media Monitor in the past and bring up what the heck these people are actually talking about. And I'm going to play some pieces of this for you, and I want you guys to watch it and kind of listen, because what this guy actually states is victories. And what they're talking about in this clip, what they're talking about is whether or not Trump's and Putin's meeting that took place over in Alaska last week was a victory for the Kremlin. They end up bringing on this freaking pundant, if you will, for Russia that ends up coming in there. And I want you to listen to how he describes what he thinks the victories are. And we're going to stop it and we're going to laugh our butts off because it's hilarious.
Вот, значит, ну, я вам скажу честно, мы тоже не спали, не только я, но и моя семья, и мои друзья мне звонили там почти до 3 часов ночи. Значит, чья это победа? Ну, если брать не победу там вообще в принципе, да, историческую, а победу вот именно на этой встрече, на этих переговорах. Ведь переговоры, это же всегда вот это.
So he's already saying this isn't a victory in the traditional sense. So now he's coming in and twisting the words. But it's a sort of tug of war in between these two people. And what he's about to talk about is this handshake that you're about to see. Everybody remembers that, like, the first time Trump and Putin met, and he's like yanking on his freaking hand and like pulling him down. And because that was such a huge talking point for Western media, now here we are years later, and he's got to somehow try to, you know, go back over that narrative.
Вот такой, как это самое, знаете, по-английски называется tug of war, когда вот руками вот это вот друг другу мужчины это самое пытаются положить, да?
И вот этот момент сейчас на видео был как раз, да?
Да. А да, кстати, заметили, что Трамп все время неожиданно, как бы, для людей при рукопожатии тянет руку на себя, так человек, заставляет человека нагибаться, да? Путин был к этому готов.
Вот кремень.
Если посмотрите, ну, во-первых, он человек, как бы, физически крепкий.
First of all, Putin's a very stout, strong man, and he was ready for this. He was prepared for it. Oh, my God.
А во-вторых, вот если еще раз покажу, теперь видно, Трамп дернул, а Путин удержал. Видите? Он не нагнулся с прямой спиной. Это важно. А такие мелочи очень важны, их забавно разбирать. И в таких...
This is literally the victory that this freaking dude was talking about, and he's so happy for it. I kid you not. This man is stating that this was the victory, that by Putin not getting yanked over and by him standing with his back straight, that this was the victory. This is what he's talking about. It is so flipping ridiculous. It's not even funny. But this guy continues. Wait for it.
Что-то решается, но понятно, что все решено было заранее. Витков приезжал, там созвонились дипломаты и все. Вот. Но вот эти моменты важны. Теперь, следующая победа Путина, помимо рукопожатия. Трамп испугался. Смотрите.
Aside from the handshake, Trump got scared. According to this guy, Trump is shaking in his freaking pants.
Они же как ходили, сначала один на один, потом обед, а потом 5 на 5, да? Вот. Но все газеты американские, вот вы сказали, давайте сам разберем, и американские, и европейские, писали, что Путин его сделает, что называется, потому что по тому уровню подготовки, по тому уровню интеллекта, по тому уровню политической интуиции, политической смелости, дипломатичности, которая есть у Путина, с ним вряд ли кто может сравниться.
So according to this guy, Trump was scared of Putin, absolutely scared of Putin because of his intellect and his diplomatic abilities. Now, mind you, this is Putin, the one that started a special military operation and invaded Ukraine and got his freaking teeth kicked in all the way back to the freaking zero line. And they've been stuck there ever since. Stuck. And now all of a sudden, it's Putin's intellect that Trump's scared of.
Ну, может быть, Си Цзиньпинь. Поэтому Трамп испугался.
Imagine being able to build anything.
Oh, no, you did not. No, you did not just do that. You freaking bastard. Oh, my goodness, man. I can't believe that this is actually a talking point that this guy has.
Просто нагнут. Вот. Или шаг 3 на 3 давайте. Да? Хорошо. Вот чем занималась наша делегация в Анкоридже? Мы еще раз изложили нашу позицию, которая известна уже 3 года не меняется.
He says in 3 years their position hasn't changed. Well, that's kind of funny. Because their position has most definitely changed over the last 3 years. And hell, if you go back the last almost like 10 years, their position has changed numerous times. When the first, even under Obama, you want to talk about being scared? You want to talk about somebody that's scared? He couldn't even admit that they invaded Crimea initially. He couldn't even admit that they had troops in the Donbas initially. Even though it was abundantly clear Putin was not scared. He just, for some reason, wanted to keep all that stuff a secret. He just didn't want to admit to it. So Putin wasn't scared, but their position hasn't changed. Because at first it was about, how do I want to say this? Their initial position was that Ukraine is killing all the separatists and the people that are out in the Donbas because they decided to separate and go towards Russia. Right. And that they're just massacring these people. So they had to go in and help them. Right. Not to mention the people of Crimea obviously want to be liberated. Their initial stance, Russia's initial stance had diddly squat to do with denazification, to do with Ukraine joining NATO, to do with any of that. And for him to state that their position hasn't changed is hilarious because even now their position has changed. The fact that Putin's coming to the table, their position has changed. It's so freaking ridiculous.
И ни на шаг не отошла от тех, значит, скудных достаточно слов, которые сказал Путин, начиная специальную военную операцию, да? Вот. То есть это была еще одна победа Путина, который не отошел, вот, ну, ни на шаг от своей позиции. Показывая всем, что он не в бирюльке играет, понимаете?
Yeah, his position hasn't changed at all. That's why part of these negotiations clearly has to do with Ukraine turning over all of their Nazis and turning away from their Nazi ways. Incog Faraday throwing in Fitty saying Israel trip fund. I actually have a VTC today that's going to go over the specifics. So tonight I'll have some more information, you guys, on my trip over to Israel next month. Really looking forward to it. It's going to be a very, very good trip. I'm going to give you guys some more information on that. Fred says, awesome work, Matt. My most trusted source of information. Yeah, let's continue on with this freaking madness because it does get better. Arthur, inappropriate. Do we have any new video of the angry Russian TV host? Rob used to play him all the time. There is some. This is the latest one, and they didn't have one of him lately. So this is what I'm putting up on the screen, because to me, it's just hilarious, and it goes over the subject at hand. Why can't you get a DNA test in Israel? Oh, my goodness, Life Tinkers, dude, get over it.
Что ему нужно? Именно то, что ему нужно. И когда Трамп говорит, я его понял, он понял одно. Этого парня не нагнешь, надо другого нагибать, второго, да? Вот, теперь смотрите, Трамп ехал в Анкоридж в очень сложной ситуации. Он сам загнал себя в определенную ловушку. Ему нужно было либо добиться прекращения огня, либо согласия Путина на встречу с Зеленским, с Европой, ну, чтобы как-то вот это обсуждать вместе. Если Трамп этого не добьется, его сочтут проигравшим. Он этого не добился. Он это...
Up! What did he say? He didn't achieve this. He didn't achieve it. Clearly, over everything that's been going on and everything that's been discussed over the last 24 hours, he did achieve it. And so here you have yet another freaking delusional Russian that thinks that Trump was not able to achieve his goals, and he fell right into Putin's trap. Putin's such a diplomat and so freaking intellectual that his third victory was making sure that that never actually came through. What a freaking idiot.
Этого не добился. Путин не стал этого отрицать в пресс-конференции, вот, что, ну, типа говорит, что он не согласен. Он этот вопрос обошел. Это позволило Трампу сказать, встреча отличная, встреча прекрасная, мы еще не заключили сделку, но мы к ней движемся, да? Вот, то есть это опять победа Путина. Это двойная победа, вы знаете, в таком психологическом поединке.
It's a fifth victory for Putin, he says. Holy freaking crap, dude. Get out of here. Trump 1,000% told the truth, and clearly Putin wanted to dance around the subject. Because what Trump stated was that they were moving towards it, and after yesterday and all of the information that came out, clearly they were moving towards it. Again, coping so freaking hard, it's not even funny.
У которого нет конца. Путин позволил Трампу в своей речи, в своих уже каких-то заявлениях того же Кремля после встречи, позволил Трампу сделать вид, что Трамп как бы не проиграл, как минимум, да, ну, процесс, да. Вот. Дальше. О каких-то достижениях, сейчас уже, я бы сказал, даже не Путина, а нашей страны. Ну, смотрите, во-первых, самое главное для меня – вот, и вот, опять же, для моей семьи. Мы увидели сопровождение нашего президента новейшими, секретнейшими истребителями ВВС США, которых американским-то журналистам не дают снимать. Это запрещено.
We're not allowed to photograph F-22s. Does this retard understand that we actually fly them at U.S. air shows? And that people photograph them all the time. And also, when Putin's inside of the United States of America, it is our duty and responsibility to make sure that nothing bad happens to him. So yeah, we're going to put our most advanced fighter jets out there to ensure that there's not a false flag and that we're freaking taking care of him, or that he doesn't get assassinated because, I don't know, he's a flipping war criminal and the world wants him dead for everything that he's been doing. But for the interest of humanity, mankind, and Ukraine, we're trying to get a freaking peace deal going, which we also accomplished.
Они очень секретные. А тут их все снимали, журналисты из окошка их фотографировали. Хорошо, дальше. Значит, красная дорожка. Вот на этой красной дорожке Запад зациклился страшно. Когда я параллельно с телевидением, у меня были открыт интернет, и когда все увидели красную дорожку, все прямо как с цепи сорвались. Да вы что? Да вы с ума сошли? Он же изгой, он же тиран, он же агрессор, ему же нельзя руки подать. Ну хорошо, ну руки ладно, ну вот воспитанный человек, но дорожка красная стелится в знак высочайшего уважения к лидерам, которых ты ждешь и хочешь. И вот это называется по-английски. У нас нет такого выражения, а у них даже есть такое red carpet reception. То есть при...
Yeah. And guess what, you freaking nut job? It worked. He got Putin to come to the table. He freaking wined and dined that moron into coming to the actual table and having a freaking peace agreement. Yeah, is this guy drunk? Probably, in my opinion, he's probably drunk.
Ем на красной дорожке. Это значит, ну, так, такая, как вот молодежь говорит, такая, ну, высшая уважуха, да, вот это red carpet reception. И вот Путин ее сделал. В машину вместе сели, да? Ну, вы знаете, я думаю, что поскольку уже все было более-менее обговорено, то Трамп, вот когда они стояли, вот сейчас они поднимутся на эту небольшую трибунку, вот, он ему сказал, садись в машину, там переговорим сейчас. И они сели, и там сколько, сказали, минут 20 они ехали, наверное, до места официальной встречи. Я думаю, что этого времени им хватило, тем более Путин очень неплохо изучил английский. Этого времени им хватило, чтобы обменяться какими-то... Они были без переводчика даже. Не было никого, кроме водителя.
That's Iron Beam, your goat.
Yeah, he was well aware of that because he was in the car, and he knows for a freaking fact that there was no interpreters in there, because we all know how much Putin loves speaking English, right? Purpose being that the whole Russian narrative and everything that ends up coming out is so dang delusional, it's not even funny. I mean, it's just they're simply out of their damn gourd when it goes down to that. I mean, simply out of their freaking gourd. Yeah. So, and here we go, Zelensky's statement, now that we just heard everything about them not, how do I want to say that, everything about Putin freaking, you know, running a game on Trump, that they didn't come to the table, and that all of this crap is just a big freaking show, and that Putin beat him diplomatically, intellectually, and all of these other ways. And now, to yesterday, we have Zelensky standing outside of the White House, and he stated this.
We don't have any deal. We just conformed after this productive meeting with the president and then with all our colleagues, with the partners, who confirmed that we are ready for a trilateral meeting. And if Russia proposed to President of the United States bilateral, and then we will see the result of bilateral, and then it can be the trilateral. So I said always, so Ukraine will never stop on the way to peace, and we are ready for any kind of formats, but on the level of leaders.
So there you have it. Bilateral meeting first, followed by trilateral meeting, meaning that Putin and Zelensky are going to talk. How freaking comical is it to sit there and listen to Russian freaking media trying to push, and I hate to use this term, no pun intended, trump up Putin, saying that he won this whole thing over and that, you know, like Trump had fallen into his trap. And now we got Zelensky sitting here clearly stating the same thing that the White House is. And now we've got statements coming out of Geneva saying that they're going to end up hosting it. It certainly seems like on an official level, Putin has to come to the table. Holy freaking cow. Can you state Russia has been freaking gaslighting their own people for so flipping long? Paul S., is that a Kevlar suit? No, man, I don't think it is. I mean, maybe, but I think it's just heavy cotton. And it was kind of funny because he had an initial meeting earlier on in this day with, I want to say it was like Witkoff and a couple other people, and they were sitting around a table, and he definitely wasn't dressed for the party. He didn't have his jacket and tie on. And then by the time he arrived at the White House, he put on a jacket and tie. I actually don't even think he was wearing a collared shirt in that meeting, if I remember correctly. I'd have to go back and look at all my notes and stuff from yesterday, but I don't even think he was wearing a collared shirt in that meeting. So Kevlar, probably not. Cotton. Yes, cotton. Thank you, Nico. Really appreciate that. It's a joke, man. The whole concept of what's taking place over there is a joke. Had a really long talk about it with a couple of people yesterday over on an X space going over it. And it amazes me how much the right wing media has actually bought into a lot of Russian propaganda. And truthfully, so is the left. And when we look at this and you have people that are like centrist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's the same issue that we have going on between Israel and the Palestinian territories, right? Where you just have this massive narrative that's getting blasted out. And when you have such a large push on social media, when you have such a large push, all of these facts end up getting convoluted, just like we talked about the Budapest Memorandum earlier. People don't realize that the U.S. never gave a security guarantee. People don't realize that the U.S. never promised to push one inch to the east. All right, Gorbachev came out and actually stated that that's a lie. That the U.S. and everybody else, that was taking that comment was taken extremely out of context. People think that Ukraine is just getting like their body stacked up and Russia's pushing them. And then if you take this and you end up putting it up on the frickin', you put it up in front of these people and you go, okay, what has Russia actually done in the last 2 years? And the answer is diddly squat. Russia hasn't done anything. And I stated earlier, and I want you guys to look at this. You guys remember this. Russia had like pushed in and occupied pretty much all of this area. And they have since been pushed all the way back to where they're currently sitting. Even this offensive operation over in Sumy, man. Like when we look at that, they haven't made it anywhere. Nowhere. They've been getting slaughtered up there. They originally were sitting up over here in Kindratovka, up over here in Thisville. They ended up getting pushed out. Ukraine sat and just waited on this other side right down here for Russia to start coming up. They've been stuck here since June, and they threw 50,000 troops at it. Not only have they been stuck here, they lost this ville, and they got pushed back. So you can't state that Russia is doing great things and they're kicking Ukraine's butt when it's very clear that Ukraine had retrograded back to a position such as this, and that Russia had their damn bodies stacked up. When I was in this freaking debate on an expert panel, this guy tried telling me that, that the Ukrainians rely on Starlink so much, and that because they rely on Starlink and it's getting shot down and Russia's controlling it, that all of their drones are essentially garbage. And I had to remind the guy, that's not true. That the vast majority of drones are via fiber optic now, and they can go like 4 kilometers. And they're cheap, like $500 a pop. And they're able to knock these freaking Russians out time and time again. And so you have people in mainstream media that are out there talking, stating all of these things that they quite literally know nothing about, stating that this is somehow, a victory for Russia and that Ukraine has to come to the negotiating table. They really don't. If you understand war and you understand the concept of war and how these things actually work, what you'll realize is that Ukraine can quite literally sit there and just stack Russian bodies along this line as long as they continue to assault. And when you look at the amount of times Russia has been assaulting and trying offensive operations, they get nowhere. Nowhere. Even in their latest breakthrough of the line, they get nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. They couldn't do it. They went to go freaking surround Pokrovsk. What happened? They got stopped. They're not going anywhere. When we go down and we look at the south over in Zaporizhia, and we look at, the big assault that they did over in Zaporizhia, all right, down in this area, I've often focused on, because these roads directly lead over into Tokmak and all the way down to Melitopol, where they have these huge headquarter elements. And you go, and okay, well, they've been pushing, but what have they done? Nothing. Dude, they haven't even made it to Orhiv. They haven't. They launched this assault weeks ago, and it certainly looks like Ukraine just retrograded back out of Robotnia, and has just been kind of chilling back here, just smashing Russians in the open. They haven't been able to assault. They haven't been able to push. They haven't been able to get anywhere. And if any of the Russian sympathizers in the chat can point me to something other than what I just stated, I'd be happy to see it. When we go across the front line and we go over into the Donbass and we go talk about that, this is something that Texas and I were talking about yesterday, and I could find it for you. You guys can take a look at it. Over in the Donbass, they have massive issues with just simple things such as water. And you need water to support the frickin' front line. This is where some of the heaviest fighting is taking place over in this region. And they don't have enough water. Their water supply is trash. They have to literally truck it in on a weekly basis into there in these massive convoys. That's what they have to do. And they're not getting it in there. So what does that mean? That means Russia has to start coming to the table. Russia cannot sustain its current operations. Their level of artillery has fallen drastically. And we've seen this big shift over into drones. But even if I showed you some of the pictures off the front lines of what the drones and munitions of the drones consists of, it's a freaking joke. Plastic water jugs filled with repurposed explosives out of frickin' mines with fuses attached that aren't even designed and most of the time don't even go off. And so while Russia might have, a couple things here and there that are working for them in certain locations, they're certainly not pushing across the front. They're certainly not going anywhere. And if they try and they continue to try, they're just going to keep getting shot down. Oh my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, it's a nightmare scenario, I think, as far as for Russia, and Ukraine can sit there. And the evidence clearly speaks for itself. 4,900 square kilometers at the cost of 200 bodies a pop over the last 20 months. 4,900 square kilometers that Russia was able to gain, and this is across this entire front line, mind you. And holy crap, man, let's just go, like, this is across the entire front line, and we can just, little measure this out. So across the entire, and this is very, very rough measurement as of today, obviously, the entire, that's 670 square kilometer front line just right there. That's all they could take. That's a huge stretch. And so you're talking about little freaking pockets across this front line over the last 20 months at that huge freaking cost. Huge cost. I don't think that they can actually get it. I don't. And how? They don't have the manpower. They literally don't, ladies and gentlemen. So they're coming to the table. I don't know if this meeting between Putin and Zelensky is going to take place over the phone. Zelensky definitely said he wants it to take place face-to-face. Switzerland coming out stating that they're welcome to meet up is a good sign. That means that there is a neutral territory. So maybe they'll go meet up in Switzerland. But either way, I think the trilateral meeting is likely going to take place over inside of Alaska or Geneva. BC Skyman says, money for the Israel trip. Keep up the great work. Brother, I am so looking forward to getting my butt over into Israel. Meetings with Israeli officials, meeting with government officials, meetings with the IDF, and being able to go check out hopefully be able to go and get inside of Gaza itself. All of those things are very real possibilities. I got a huge meeting about this today, and I look forward to having more information for you guys. But I'll tell you that it's going to take place mid next month when I'm actually going to be over there. And I'm going to be offline for about a week while I'm over there. But I will be posting you guys update videos. I'm obviously going to be taking along camera equipment. I'm going to be taking along all sorts of stuff to be able to give you guys updates while I'm over there and some up-to-date information. Other thing that I actually like about doing this, even though I think it's kind of like a talking point in media, you know, they always want to know, well, have you been there? Have you actually seen it? Look, man, it's 2025. I've always felt that I don't need to go over there and see specifically what's going on. But when it goes down to the humanitarian aid situation, when it goes down to what's kind of taking place on those front lines, yeah, I think it's important to see what's going on for those things. I also think it's important, and this is why I accepted this trip versus a trip from last year. Because right now you're at this critical point over inside of Israel and Gaza. And that critical point is, what is the victory going to look like for Israel, and what are they going to continue to do? And I'm hoping to be able to get some of those answers. I've speculated, and I've talked to you guys about some of the statements that Netanyahu has made. I've talked to you about some of the statements that we've heard out of the IDF and what it definitely looks like, where you have, you know, these little militia groups that are now starting to rise up. There was one that occurred the other day where they ended up capturing, I think it was like 100 Hamas fighters, something ridiculous, up in the north. Some of these militias ended up capturing them. But my concern is what's the way forward going to look like? More specifically, you know, I've seen reports of people from Gaza landing down in Texas and a couple other locations. So I'm also curious what like that migration policy kind of looks like for them and what they're doing in order to facilitate all that and what the screening process also looks like for that. Because I know for dang sure that Israel is just not going to allow like anybody fly out of there. But there's always a possibility, 100%, always a possibility that these things are going to take place. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me today. Now, if you guys don't want to stick around for the devotional, feel free to go the other direction. Do whatever you want, right? Like, you guys don't have to stick around. It's a Christian-based devotional. I told you guys I'm going to end up bringing in the devotional book that I want. If you guys like to share in these things and you guys want to go over those, you're more than welcome to do it. And I'll be sharing you guys a link here shortly and providing you the up-to-date information and all of that crap on that so that you guys can go through the devotional's works with me if you guys want. There's a specific statement that comes out of 1 Thessalonians 4:4, and it says that we need to learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. And I put a lot of thought into that one today, did a lot of reading this morning, put a lot of thought into that particular verse itself. Learn to control your body in a way that is holy and honorable. Obviously, we know that gluttony is not okay. We know that several things are not okay, but I think that that is a very, very important thing. And oftentimes, even myself, I fall guilty of it and I fall short of it. And that goes into all sorts of different moralities, like in your life and all sorts of different things that the Bible wants you to do. Right. And that Jesus himself has commanded that the Bible clearly lays out on how to live a good and healthy life. In controlling your own body, you actually are able to get peace. So whether or not you're a Christian, I think that you can even apply this to within yourself. If you want actual true peace in your life, if you actually want to like walk in God's favor and everything else, there is a reason that it specifically gives you that command. learning to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Because if you do that, whether or not you're religious, whether or not you're a Christian, I don't care where you come from. If you learn to control your own body across any religion, across like any, like, dude, even if you're non-religious and you learn to control your own body, you control your own thoughts, you control everything that you're doing, all of a sudden you're able to control what's taking place inside. And oftentimes what takes place inside of us is kind of what leads us to insecurities. We can't control anything that happens in the outside world. We can't control other people's actions. We can only control our reactions to that. And in doing so, we can actually bring peace. Once you understand that you're the captain of your own vessel and that the waters are going to get rough, but it's how you steer that vessel, that's what matters. How you steer that vessel, how you weather that storm, and how you make it through. And so I'll leave you with this, ladies and gentlemen. Just learn to control your own body. Learn that you can't control other people's actions, only your own reactions. And with that, you'll end up finding peace and understanding. Now, all of these random things that end up occurring in our lives, look at it more as an experience, as a journey. And if it turns out bad, it's going to make you stronger because you've like sat through and you've learned how to weather that storm and you've learned how to navigate your vessel through that storm. If you panic and you start doing wild stuff and spinning the frickin' wheel because you're not thinking clearly, well, your ship might sink. So don't panic. Learn how to control your body. Learn how to weather the storm. Lord, please give us the strength to learn to control our own vessel. Please give us the strength to understand that our body is a temple. Please give us the strength to understand and know that you're going to be with us and that we can do everything through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Ask these things in his name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. Obviously, I'll see you guys again live tonight. And if you haven't yet, make sure that you are subscribed to the channel. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't subscribed yet, what are you doing with your life? Get on it. Catch you guys later.